This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Rich Moreno.
And I'm Jasmine Crichton.
Rolling Stone magazine last week retracted the story it ran last fall about a gang rape at the University of Virginia, and it removed the story from its website. What lessons can be learned from what happened with Rolling Stone?
Well, they put out a full retraction explaining what happened with the original story and why they pulled it. And I think Columbia University, they had a couple journalism professors go through and fact check and see where they went wrong. It came out that reporting errors, decision-making errors, fact-checking errors, things that are common practices in journalism, like not attributing information mm-hmm. back to its source, those kinds of things were not done in this article. There are parts in this article where the writer said that one of the woman who alleged that she was raped said that one of her friends that had come to help her mm-hmm. after the attack, she said that this person would not speak to Rolling Stone. And in fact, the person, they tracked this person down after they published the story. This person said, I would have talked to you, and I, in fact, would have said that some of these things didn't happen. So mm-hmm. I didn't tell her I wouldn't talk to you. They didn't even bother to talk to these three different friends that had helped this woman that they called Jackie after the assault. And that is a big problem, that they didn't even go and try to find other people who could kind of validate that this happened.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the basics in this story are pretty flawed. They don't check what she tells them, the source. It's pretty much a one-source story, which
yeah.
is a major no-no in any kind of journalism for the most part. You've got to verify, confirm and verify. And there is no, at least doesn't appear to be, in reading I read it when the article came out.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, it was very sensational. I thought, oh, this is terrible.
You know?
I reacted the way that everybody did when they mm-hmm. read it. And then when like you said, Rolling Stone started shortly after the issue came out. They started kind of pulling back,
mm-hmm.
and then ultimately they sent it over to Stephen Cole, the dean at the Columbia Journalism School, and said, take a look at it. He had a task force that did and came back saying, you guys violated all kinds of basic journalism rules in putting
mm-hmm.
this together. I think the biggest problem, of course, is just there was no attempt to get two sides. You know, and that's not to say that every story, has to have this fake balance. But,
right.
I mean, if you're making accusations that are serious like this, there has to be an attempt to try to talk to the other people that are mentioned in this story. You haven't even done the real basic kind of reporting that's necessary. So, yeah, I think it was a pretty crappy piece of journalism.
Yeah, even though it's very tough to try and contact someone with their other side of the story
sure.
with something as terrible as this, I think you owe it to
sure.
that person. Even if they are accused of something absolutely terrible, I think you should still try and get both sides. We have seen right here what happens when you don't try to get both sides.
Right, and it looks like that the person that Jackie initially described didn't necessarily exist mm-hmm. as she described him.
And the party wasn't that – there was no party the evening that she said.
At least with that fraternity.
With that particular fraternity. There were some basic facts that just didn't measure up.
Right, after they were investigated, but we're talking about after it was
yeah.
published.
Oh, sure.
I mean,
see, this should have been done. You're right.
Before the publication.
Long before, yeah. And I actually was reading another article that was in the Columbia Journalism Review that just came out yesterday. And they basically – it was just a quick hit thing where they talked to other media folks and said, you know, does this damage journalism, this particular piece? And I'm not even sure that's the right question. What I'm sorry about is that there are obviously people who bad things happen to,
right.
including rape.
Mm-hmm.
And if for victims, I think that's the real victim of this particular story is that when something like this does occur, will you put yourself out there? Will you step forward? Because there is now going to be even more doubt. And the system is already kind of a horrible thing to navigate when something bad like this happens.
Yeah. The true victim is exactly who you're saying. It's the people who are afraid to come forward because they're afraid that they'll be accused of making a false allegation.
Exactly.
The statistics are cited even in the Rolling Stone retraction, 2 to 8% are false allegations typically when it comes to rape cases. That leaves an overwhelming majority where people are being raped and things like this are happening. In this case, it makes it look bad. Mm-hmm. Makes it look like someone's lying. And I don't necessarily think that something didn't happen here.
Oh, no,
it looks like
something
happened, but it doesn't look like it happened the way that it was described. Mm-hmm. And it really just looks bad on everybody.
Exactly.
As far as the journalism, the question, does this damage journalism? Don't we hear that every time somebody gets caught making up a story?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, this story talks about this is just the latest. You can go down the list of Farid Zakaria supposedly recycling his own things and plagiarizing from other people. There's any number. Stephen Glass fabricating people in the New Republic. Jason Blair, Jack Kelly at the USA Today. And the point that this story actually makes is it'll blow over. And it's not like journalists have a particularly high, popularity rating anyway in the
right.
first place. But it does, I think, getting to your basic question, it's really a question of credibility. And in many ways, that's all a journalist has, is his or her credibility. And so I think that this is damaging in that sense. Is it going to have a long-term effect? Not any more than any other scandal. Probably it'll kind of pass. But I do think it means that anyone that's involved in journalism, you kind of have to redouble your efforts to make sure that attribute, verify.
And what about single sourcing stories? Because I feel like that is done quite a bit. Not with a major investigative piece like this, but certainly day-to-day stories that pressure to fill the news hole every day. I think there are a lot of single source stories that are reported.
And I, you're right. And I, in our classes, I'm sure you do the same. You try to discourage it.
Yeah.
I mean, the Courier, the news editor has written it on the chalkboard, quote at least two people in every story, to try to remind our writers. And as an educator, you of course try to doing a profile. I don't know how you do, and yet I see them all the time. A single source profile, that's a press release.
Yeah.
You have to talk to somebody, friends and foes, about that person if you really want to get a picture of an individual for a profile. So, yeah, getting your point, I think you do need to have more than one source.
But, broadcasting, you do a 30 or 40-second story.
Yeah.
You don't have space for you generally don't have space for two quotes,
we don't usually do a quote. We'll have sound bites, just like as a radio we normally would try to.
Well, that's what a quote, a sound bite is a quote.
Yeah. Right. But, I do try to get them to source different people. And the problem is that people just aren't attributing information. They just think they can put the info in the story and never say where it came from. I come across that a lot. And in this particular case, they did not, and Rolling Stone, they say about the writer, she was afraid to go around Jackie. Because they were afraid that she would stop helping them with the story and stop talking to them. So their rationale was, don't go around Jackie, stay with her. She'll continue to talk to us if we don't do that. But the Jackie, she never said, don't talk to these people.
Mm-hmm.
She never said that necessarily. That was something that they did on their own.
So that was an assumption.
Once you feel you have everything you can get from this woman, then you go to the other people.
Sure.
Right. And that's really what should have happened
again,
here.
Especially with something this sensational and potentially damaging to, not to say that something didn't happen, but you really have an obligation to try to get it. And if they don't want to talk, they say, I'm not going to speak to you. At least you gave them the opportunity. And that's what you're obligated to do.
Yeah, but they really glossed over attribution here.
Mm-hmm.
They would say like sources say or
right.
they in one particular part, because I reread this again today, they said that one of the witnesses, one of Jackie's friends, said that he didn't want to talk to the media because he was in a frat and he didn't want to hurt his reputation in the frat. that was never asked. He was never talked to by Rolling Stone. Jackie said that. Jackie said, oh, he doesn't want to talk to you guys. They just took her, but never quoted her in saying that. They just said he didn't want to talk.
Yeah, that's a huge mistake.
Huge mistake. Mm-hmm. And it made him look really bad, too. And now we know all these people, who these people are, and they're saying we look terrible in this story. I wouldn't be surprised if there are some lawsuits coming
out of this. Supposedly the fraternity's already announced it's going to sue Rolling Stone. So, yeah. That's definitely in the cards.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we need to wrap things up here for today, but our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.